This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We'll talk about that in a moment, because I got a lot to say about Sunbury Motors today. But first, plenty to talk about with the Hall of Famer, Ray Dittinger. Welcome, Ray. Great to have you back on the show.
Always good to be with you, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you are well. What did you think of the Eagles' draft as to how they went about their business, especially in conjunction with how they handled free agency?
I give them very high marks. I mean, they really did a good job. I mean, they helped themselves in free agency. I mean, Saquon Barkley was the big signing, obviously. But they also got Bryce Huff from the Jets, who's a promising young player. And then they went into the draft with very specific needs, and boy, they addressed him in a big way. And, you know, Howie Roseman did what he always likes to do, which is move up and down the board, wheel and deal. And he came out of it with what I thought were some really good players, and also added, like, three draft picks for next year. I mean, he's a master of playing the draft board. He really is. And, you know, listen, some years are better than others. I mean, there's some years that he wheels and deals and comes away with Jalen Reagor.
Right, and then, exactly.
And then there are other years where he does the same thing and he winds up making a big trade and he gets Devontae Smith. So nobody's perfect in this business, but he's better than most. And I thought this was really one of his best drafts.
We are in an era where people want to see, Ray, everything right away now. Let's get success. Allowing something to play out doesn't seem to be the norm, but how important is it to keep the perspective, at least I do, of you need a couple of years to really figure out whether it really was a good draft or not?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, that's very true. And the point that you make about the fans don't want to hear about, you know, well, this is going to be a really good, we need 2-3 years to evaluate this player. You know, there is a lot of truth in that. I mean, coaches will tell you there is a lot of truth in that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the Eagles are a good team with very specific immediate needs. And so this draft had to have that. You know, in this draft, you know, it's fine to go draft a developmental kind of player like Hunt, who they got with their third pick.
Right.
Yeah. But right now, I mean, you need guys that can line up and play and keep you in the mix for, you know, maybe winning the conference, maybe going to a Super Bowl. I mean, this is a team that was 10-1 mid-season last year and then fell off a cliff the second half of the year because they couldn't stop anybody. And they had the worst secondary in the league by the end of the year. Well, you know, you still got a lot of those good players on offense, and you've added to it with Barkley. But you're not going to go anywhere unless you improve your defense. So that's what the Eagles did in this draft. I mean, and they drafted with the idea that we got to get better in that area, like right now, to maximize the prime of our offensive players, and they have a lot of good ones. But, you know, we're not going to be a serious contender if we run out the same defense that we had at the end of last year. We got to get better, like, right away. And I think they did that. You know, I mean, Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean were my 1-2 cornerbacks, yeah, in the draft, right. And the Eagles came away with both of them. Now, if you had told me the day before the draft or the morning of the draft that they were going to be able to pull that off, I would have said no way. If they get one of them, that's a coup. To get both of them, I mean, I thought it was pretty amazing. I think those are two guys that are going to come in, and I think they're both going to be starting week one.
and watch Cooper return punts too. Obviously, I've done enough Penn State Iowa games in my career. The guy's a player. I mean, I thought that was a second round steal. Also, the one area where Howie didn't have to make a move was actually in the first round, because the first 14 players were chosen were offensive players.
Right.
So the player he needed fell to him, which is also part of the art of the draft as well. What did you think about the offensive trend in the first half of the draft?
Well, you're right. This worked out perfectly for the Eagles. This worked out perfectly for the Eagles, because we all knew well ahead of time before the draft that the way things were going to play out. I mean, the early part of the draft was going to be all about the quarterbacks, and then the next big run was going to be on wide receivers, and then the next big run was going to be on offensive tackles. And frankly, none of those were areas where the Eagles needed to get involved.
Right.
You know, so they could let all of the teams that needed that go big game hunting there for the first dozen picks or so. And the whole time that they're doing that, and everybody's getting all around the country is getting all excited watching TV, watching all these quarterbacks come off the board, the Eagles are just sitting there saying, "Man, this is great for us," because every defensive player on the board is getting pushed further and further down and getting closer and closer to us. Now, I think we all kind of fully foresaw that, but I still thought if Quinyon Mitchell was the guy they were targeting, and I don't know if apparently he was. I didn't talk to Howie, or Howie was certain never told me, but I thought he was the best corner. And if the Eagles were thinking about drafting him, even the fact that all of these defensive players are getting pushed further and further down the board, I never thought that he was going to get to 22. Never, ever. So if he was their guy, I thought, okay, you know what Howie's probably going to have to do here is, you know, he's going to have to take one of those second-round picks that he's got, package it with 22, and move up to, say, 13, 14 to get Mitchell. If that's who he really wants, he's not going to get him sitting at 22. Well, he did.
Yeah.
He did. Mitchell falls to 22, so he gets him at 22, and now he's in a position in the second round where he can package those two second-round picks and trade up high enough to get DeGene. You know, I know you saw a lot of DeGene in the Big Ten, but I mean, to me, I think he's a real quality player with tremendous versatility. I think he will be an immediate hit with Vic Fangio and his defense, the way he likes to move people around and play them in multiple roles. I mean, that's exactly what DeGene is.
Yeah.
And if it had worked out that if they had gotten DeGene at 22.
Yes.
If, like, let's say Mitchell had been off the board. Let's say somebody had jumped ahead of the Eagles and gotten Mitchell. Okay, that would have been a blow. But if they had come away at 22 with DeGene, I would have said, "Hey, that's great." You know, I would have been happy with him at 22. But to get Mitchell at 22 and DeGene at 40, I mean, that was really. I mean, a little bit of luck. But yeah, I got to give Howie a lot of credit. I think he played it just right.
I didn't see him play in person. I only saw him practice one time. It was, and that's Will Shipley from Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the value of that pick, that stuck out to me on a positive side. What did you think of that pick?
I liked it. I thought that they had a need there. I thought there were two offensive needs. Well, maybe more than that. But there were a couple of offensive needs that they felt they had to address. One was a backup running back, kind of a utility guy.
Yep.
You know, Saquon's going to be the guy. I mean, Saquon's going to get the bulk of the work, and he should. But they weren't going. It was pretty clear they weren't bringing Boston Scott back. Kenneth Gainwell, who's been here for a couple of years. I mean, he's okay, but that's about all he is. But they needed another guy, a guy that could come in and, you know, and spell Barkley and become a bit of a third down threat, and a guy that could do multiple things. And, you know, I thought Shipley could give them that. So I thought he was a good fit there. And the other thing that they needed was they really needed a slot receiver. I mean, they've got the two outstanding wide receivers in Smith and Brown. I mean, that might be the best pair in all of the NFL, I think, those two together.
Great.
But they really didn't have – they like to play 11 personnel a lot. You know, one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers. That's, you know, Sirianni, his playbook leans heavily that way. Well, okay, if you're going to play 11 personnel, then that third receiver, you need a third receiver who can really contribute in the slot. And they were, you know, they were hoping that Quez Watkins would be that guy, but they gave him a full chance at it. It just didn't work out. So that was one other thing you were looking for in the draft. And there were some good slot receivers in this draft. There really were. Now, the kid that they took from Texas A&M, Smith, is he's had sort of a truncated career at Texas A&M. He's had a lot of injuries. He's kind of been in and out. Every time he starts to play really well, something sets him back. But he's got a lot of ability. And, you know, it'll see how well he adjusts to the NFL. But those were two needs that they had. And, you know, I feel confident that Shipley can be a guy that can contribute right away. And Smith, they're hoping he will, but he might need a little more time.
Okay, so we see how the draft is today. You know, it's gone to Philadelphia. It was wild, tremendous, raucous. Now it's Detroit, where they had several hundred thousand eventually watching over 3 days. Do you remember covering your first draft as a reporter, and what was it like?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It was 1970, and I was a 23-year-old, just new on the pro football beat, covering the Eagles. And the NFL draft was, I mean, it was nothing. I mean, it was nothing. I mean, we had the Eagles did it, and they ran the draft out of the press room. In 1970, they weren't even in Vet Stadium yet.
No.
They were doing it from the team's headquarters, their offices, which were at the which were in the Philadelphia Bulletin building. I was working for the Philadelphia Bulletin, and the Eagles had the entire first floor. So they were doing the draft. The Eagles were literally drafting out of my building in 1970, and it was all the media, and it wasn't that much. I mean, it was maybe a dozen guys. We were all gathered in one kind of room that was about the size of a closet, and there was no TV coverage, obviously. And so we just sat there, you know, every 2 hours or 3 hours, the team's PR guy would walk into the room and say, okay, in the third round, we just drafted so-and-so. And he would come in and he would distribute like one mimeograph sheet of information on that guy. And that was it, you know, and okay, I'll be back and I'll see you in 4 hours when we pick again. That was the draft. And the story, you know, your story would, you know, you might make the first page of sports, you might not. But most of it was just the Agate stuff that ran on the along with the baseball box scores, like all these names in little type that nobody paid much attention and nobody really cared. I mean, when ESPN was launched at the end of the 70s, and they decided that we're going to televise the NFL draft, that changed everything. I mean, that changed everything. And that spawned, you know, the whole Mel Kiper phenomenon, and then all of the people that wanted to be Mel Kiper, and then, you know, all the draft publications, and it became this thing that it is now, which I look at it and I just marvel. You know, people talk about how the Super Bowl has grown, and it has. I mean, Super Bowl has grown ridiculously. But I always say that Super Bowl is nothing compared to the way the NFL draft has grown. you started with something that literally nobody paid any attention to something that pulls in ridiculous numbers on TV on multiple networks. It is an amazing thing. But you know, that's the NFL. I mean, they are the master marketers of sports. I mean, they're the master marketers of anything, to be honest with you. I mean, they have structured everything in their world so perfectly that they never are out of the news cycle. I mean, you have the football season is what it is. It goes through. Then you have the postseason, which takes you up to the Super Bowl. Then you have your post-Super Bowl where everybody's just talking about the game and the TV ratings and stuff. And then within 1 week, it's free agency. So free agency dominates the whole conversation for the next month. And then you're right into the pre-draft. You know, it's the combines. It's the pro days. Then you go to the draft. Then you go into mini camps. And then the OTAs. And that's the offseason. Then there's the release of the schedule. Oh, my God, more primetime programming.
I know.
And they're going to tell
them
to release the schedule. And then they're at training camp, and then they're into the season. I mean, it is just so amazing. And it hasn't happened by accident. I mean, it's been very well planned by the people on Park Avenue. But to compare the NFL of today with what I started covering in 1970, I mean, to me, I stand back and I just look at it and marvel.
Well, you would have loved to have been sitting next to me on the defensive team bus going to a Peach Bowl practice, and Jack Ham is sitting there, and he's talking to the defensive players about what the draft was like in his era. And he said, you know, I played in a couple All-Star games, and then a couple weeks later they had the draft, and they found out. And they looked at him, and they were like, well, what do you mean? What about the combine? He said, there was no combine. What about pro day? There was no pro day. And they're looking at him like, you have to be kidding me. Like, that's impossible. And they have taken something where they hand a card and read a name and turned it into millions watching it.
Yeah, I know. Well, Steve, that's a funny story about Jack. And you know, I remember the Eagles had a scout that really loved Jack Ham. I mean, he had scouted him at Penn State and loved him, and he was really pounding on the desk with the coaches to take Jack Ham when Jack came out, and the Eagles passed on him. And he was just furious. I mean, he came into the room where the reporters were, where we were, and just was livid. And because he had been telling us all during the season how he loved Jack Ham, and he said, I was just pounding on the table in there for Jack Ham. He said, and they wouldn't take him. They said he's too small. And he said, that guy's going to be a great player. Well, he sure was right. But yeah. The story I was going to tell you was Ron Jaworski tells a great story about the day he was drafted. He was in the dormitory at Youngstown State. he didn't even know the draft was going on. So he's in his dorm room with his roommate, and there's one payphone at the end of the hall, and the phone rings, and this exchange student from Belgium picks it up, mm-hmm. and answers the phone and hollers down the hall. He said, "Who? Huh? Who calling? Okay, wait." And he, you know, puts his hand over the phone and hollers, Jaworski, Los Angeles Rams on the phone." And Ronnie like jumps out of the bed, goes sprinting down the hall and gets the phone, and sure enough, it's Jack Faulkner calling from the Rams to tell Jaws that he was their second round draft pick. But I mean, it was such an incidental kind of thing, and he didn't even know the draft was happening that day. So now you compare that to what you have now. You know, with what did they have? 200,000 people attending the draft. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, you look at it now, and I just shake my head. It's just hard. And you know, all the guys from that time, all the guys that actually remember what it was like back in the day, like Jack Ham, like Ron Jaworski. I mean, they're just as amazed as you and I are.
Well, and Bud Tallman, and of course you know Bud from all those years he was with the Bills and the NFL. And of course Bud worked here at Penn State for a long time. The Bills draft Ahmad Rashad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have to call him. So they call him. And this woman answers. They say, "Is Ahmad there?" And she says, "What? Who? Ahmad? Ahmad?" He says, "Ahmad Rashad." And she finally says, "Oh, for goodness sakes, Bobby, get over here." It was his mother. Bobby Moore was his name.
It was Bobby Moore then, Bobby, right, exactly.
Yeah. I says, "Who?" Mom didn't know who it was.
I remember 1971 in the seventh round. And, you know, you're getting down in the draft, and the Eagles were not a good team. And the seventh round, who cares? And the PR guy, Jimmy Gallagher, comes walking into this little room where we're all cooped up waiting for the press release. And he comes in and he says, "Okay, we just made our seventh round pick. It's a wide receiver from Southern University. His name's Harold Carmichael." And he hands out this little mimeograph sheet with you know, like about five lines of information on it. And I look at it and I say, "Hey, Jimmy," I said, there's a mistake here." He says, "What do you mean?" I said, "You've got him down as 6'8". There are no 6'8" wide receivers. And he said, "Yeah, I know. I don't. He said, "But we called and we checked at the university. I called Southern and they said, yeah, the guy's really 6'8". Now, you know, I mean, who knows? Maybe he's not. Maybe they're lying. But that's what they told us. It's not a typo. That's what they told me." So, I mean, that was how little we knew about Harold Carmichael.
Oh, goodness. You and I could go around on this for a long time. This is a lot. That's a lot of fun. Ray, thanks so much. I always appreciate every minute I spend with you. Thanks so much.
It's always a pleasure, Steve. Call me anytime.
You bet. Thanks.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. That Todd, the reminiscing part of it. Because, I mean, he has how many more stories? And I know I have a few more. It's a couple of guys sitting down having a couple of cold beverages reminiscing. Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Was what I was hoping for.
Oh, I know you're hoping for it. I mean, if you want. I mean, did you see the picture of the suit and Chief down at the ball game?
I did. I got a little maybe not a little jealous. It was still a little cold and damp last night, but
do you want to know what my first thought was?
Probably not.
Chief drove.
Yeah, well.
Thus, they were able to take the picture. All right, we'll take a break. I got a lot to say about Sunbury Motors. What a great day I had over there on Saturday. So we'll do that next half hour. Great to have you with us today. Matt Cotrillo tomorrow. All that great stuff you heard from Ray, it'll be 180 tomorrow. It's your guy.
I don't know. Well, I shouldn't say this, but I think the Sixers game's over long enough. How angry could he be?
Oh, they threw Aaron Judge out of a game.
Well, that's true. They're not playing as well as they were, but they're still playing okay. Like, I'm sure he'll find something.
Oh, I'm sure somebody did something. I mean, he leads the league in finding the Hall of Snickage.
Yeah, this is true.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way, routine to difficult. Bought a Ford Explorer there on Saturday. Chris was tremendous. I mean, Chris really, I mean, Stanger, you were great. The entire process, Jared was fabulous. Came down to sit down and do all the nuts and bolts about money and everything like that. And it's the single best buying experience I've had with a vehicle ever. It was first class all the way. And ended up with a great vehicle and bought it from great people. So when we sit here and we talk about Sunbury Motors, and Sunbury Motors has sponsored this studio now for 12 years, it's not just me saying it. I am a customer, so, and a very happy one at that. And this half hour also brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Okay, so tomorrow, Matt, Neil Coulong, Keith Pompey, then Bob Nightingale and Nate Bauer on Wednesday. So that's at least the initial lineup for the week. The Sixers are gone. The Flyers are long gone. The Phillies have been playing great. I mean, they're just rolling. They have the best record. They're 24-11. They're 13-6. And only got Zach Wheeler today against Mason Black. I think the Phillies might be the prohibitive favorite.
Mason Black actually has a local connection. He went to Valley View near Scranton.
He does, yes. Yes, he's a Valley View Cougar, as a matter of fact. But the Phillies have been rolling. Alec Bohm has been great. He's hitting 360. He's hitting 460 something over the last, what, dozen games? Some number like that. He's hitting like the third overall pick in the draft. I mean, he's hitting like he's the third overall pick in the draft. That's just phenomenal, the way he's been just tearing the cover off the ball. And he's become a better fielder. It was when I watched him play at Williamsport, and I'm broadcasting the games that he's playing in, it was not as bad. Every time I see him at the plate, I'm like, oh, man, he has a great look at the plate. He was in the field. I just thought he was so stiff in the field. And who knows? I mean, it could have been. You know, it's a long season. I think he's Wichita State, right?
Yeah.
If I recall correctly. And, you know, a long season at Wichita State, then you finally get back to playing again. And, you know, I thought, that was my only complaint about it. I just thought he was awfully stiff in the field. I thought to myself, he said, well, this guy's a DH. But you know what? He's turned into a really good third baseman. He can also play first. So he has been just... I mean, Bohm has been tremendous. But the entire lineup, Brandon Marsh has been ripping the cover off the ball. Now, they've got a little issue here for the next few weeks because Trey Turner's out. And Bryson Stott did play shortstop last night. I believe Bryson Stott's playing shortstop tonight. He's playing shortstop tonight. Whit Merrifield's going to start at second base.
Yeah, I think it's the first time. I think Scott Lauber tweeted it's the first time he's started at shortstop since Game 6 of the last World Series the Phillies were in.
Yep. So he'll be fine there. Although I guess the plan is this is a one-off. I mean, he'll do it once in a while. But, So he'll start at shortstop tonight, and they'll have Whit Merrifield starting at second base. But they're just a really terrific, well-rounded team. They're just well-rounded. That's why we were talking, trying to think it was on our show the other day, maybe it's something else I was doing. So some things, with all due respect, do run together. And I was talking about, I think we were talking about this the other day. Like, James Harden, if you look at the 80s Celtics, the 80s Lakers, the 90s Bulls, the Detroit Pistons, the Lakers. Which one of these guys would be starting for these teams? Who?
And I think it was none.
Yeah. I mean, Anthony Edwards is a really, really incredibly talented player. But again, it's all about fit. Who fits? Who makes a team? Now, is Anthony Edwards a really, just a terrifically talented player? But would he fit with the Lakers? Who's he going to replace? Remember, you got Magic Johnson, so you're going to replace Byron Scott with him? Or does Byron Scott play a great role in, as a shooter and understanding who he is in the lineup? And it's everything's about fit. It's not just about its pick name of guy. It's LeBron's team. It's like, okay, well, I got it. He's the primary guy. I mean, I understand that. But that's the part where I sit back and say, like, who fits? Like, with Minnesota, he has to do a lot. Karl Anthony Towns has transitioned back to being halfway between a star and just another guy. Rudy Gobert fills a role. Luka Doncic is tremendous. I mean, I really love how he plays. It's interesting, he and Jokic, neither one of them looks like they're in shape. Yet, you never see them fatiguing, do you?
I made the joke at work last week that Luka looks like he should be smoking cigarettes at halftime with Vlade Divac.
Yeah, like, holy mackerel. But it's not that these guys of today aren't tremendously talented. They are. It's not like the players of today aren't tremendous deep shooters. They are. It's also not like the players of today are playing by a slightly different set of rules, because they are. And the rules are better, by the way. I mean, the rules are better compared to when, like, you know, the Knicks are playing Houston or the Pistons are playing anybody, where it just was an absolute rock fight for 2.5 hours. I mean, today, the game is a better game today because it's about passing, shooting, and flow. And they've done a good job of getting that emphasized in today's game. I mean, I don't need a guy driving to, I remember it was game three, like the fourth quarter, and Kurt Rambis flying down the floor in a fast break, and Kevin McHale neckties him. You're like, holy mackerel. It was a bad foul. I mean, a bad foul by anybody's standards. You know, but the Celtics felt they had to send a message. Okay, well, they did, and then the Celtics won games 4 and 5. Four in Los Angeles, out in Inglewood, and then 5 back in Boston. But, like, do I want to see that in today's game? No. I didn't want to see it in that game. And the way the Pistons played, oh! Back in the day, Lambeer, Rodman, Mahorn.
Imagine Matt Cotrillo watching Bill Lambeer.
Oh, emotionally, he couldn't handle it. I mean, I'm talking, he's a wreck now. Wait till I bring up his guy getting thrown out of a game over the weekend. Oh.
Some of the stuff those Pistons teams used to do to Barkley before Mahorn came over. Oh, he'd have a heart attack.
Oh, what they did to the Bulls. Right? Wow. I mean, to the Bulls, because remember, that was the hurdle. Detroit had to get past Boston. They couldn't get past Boston. Finally got past them. Right? Well, Chicago couldn't get past Detroit. And finally, they got past them. And that's when, Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons, before the game was even over, went to the locker room.
I was just going to say, imagine if that happened today.
No!
I don't think we could watch ESPN for 4 days.
Oh, I'm struggling now.
Well, this is true. Oh, just imagine if it's Boston and New York and the NBA and the NHL.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, how about that? That's, and that's the way, you know. I'll say this, Stephen A. Smith would have a field day.
Yes. And I am not counting out the Pacers in that series, though.
Against the Celtics?
Celtics
have the Cavs. The Pacers and the Knicks.
I am counting out the Cavs.
Okay. So the Pacers and the Knicks. See, the wild card is the Knicks don't have Julius Randle. That still, to me, plays a role here somewhere. The Pacers were fortunate that they didn't have to face Giannis. Lillard was wounded. And, talk about everything turning up right for them. I think that series goes six.
I think it's a more competitive series than the Celtics and the Cavs probably ends up being. I really think the Celtics are a prohibitive favorite in the East. I really like to watch the Celtics.
Yeah.
As much as that pains me to say as a Sixers fan.
No, they play well together. Now, they won't have Porzingis. They may not have Porzingis in this series. All right, now here's this one. Matt will love this one. Snoop Dogg. We're personal friends of the Suits. Is getting into college football, into the bowl business. It's going to recognize his 1993 hit song with Dr. Dre called Gin and Juice. Today they revealed the new Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, presented by Gin and Juice by Dre and Snoop, announcing his intent to bring the juice back to college football. Now, this game had previously been sponsored, as we know, by Barstool Sports. Well, it's still going to be in Tucson. It's going to be December 28th. It'll be a Mountain West team against a Mid-American Conference team. The partnership marks the first with an alcohol product as the presenting sponsor of an NCAA-sanctioned bowl game. In February, the new beverage company introduced Gin and Juice as their first ready-to-drink product, a nod to Snoop Dogg's hit from the album Doggy Style, produced by Dr. Dre and Death Row Records. I believe the chief, Dave Ritchie, has several bootleg copies of it.
I actually have the CD somewhere if you want to borrow it, Steve.
Wouldn't want to ruin it for you. You're good. So, Kim Adair, who's the executive director of the Arizona Bowl, said in a statement, "The Arizona Bowl is bringing sports, libations, and entertainment into a singular bowl game, and we are changing the definition of what a brand partnership is with the NCAA. Right? Now, our new network, Playfly Premier Partnerships, that has worked with the Arizona Bowl since 2021, finalized that deal between Snoop Dogg and the bowl game. It says, college football fans are exhausted by the constant talk around NIL, conference realignment, coach movement, transfer portal, and super conferences, so it's time that we get back to the roots of college football. Snoop Dogg made that statement on social media. When it was focused on the colleges, the players, the competition, the community, the fan experience, and the pageantry. So it's only fitting that I step up and get this thing right. Now, Snoop Dogg does go to USC games and practices too. And his son, Cordell Brodus, was a wide receiver at one point at UCLA before stepping away from the sport. But Snoop Dogg, the Arizona Bowl, words I thought I would never put in the same sentence.
That release dripped of pure PR too, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. You got it.
You're going to change the face of college football with a Mountain West team and a Mid-American team, are you?
And tonight, Colorado State plays Kent State. Okay. Everybody, it didn't say that whether they had a network partnership. That's, I'm sure, going to be next.
Still working on that part.
Ooh. Well, somebody out there is going to want to carry it. And the reason is, you know, I always love these people that would say, I won't watch too many bowl games at once. Well, good, you don't have to watch, but 1 to 3 million people are watching all the other ones. You don't have to, you don't have to wreck our experience. Mm-hmm. Who cares? I don't care if you watch.
They don't really either if they're getting 1 to 3 million for all of them.
No. If you're ESPN, you know, and they obviously broadcast the vast majority of the bowl games, it's incredible programming. You've got a game every night in prime time. You know, you have to, you know, it mixes in with Monday Night Football and so forth, but you have a game every night. And it's cold out. And you're hanging at home. I know, I'll sit there, I'll look at it and go, you know what? That's the St. Petersburg Bowl or the Gasparilla Bowl. I'm like, what do you want to watch that for? Well, it's football. I'll watch it. Perfect combination. Perfect combination. By the way, Cliff Amore, who played at Rutgers, is going to transfer to Alabama. And then P.J. Hall of Clemson is entering the NBA draft. And Clemson, of course, is in that tournament down in Daytona. All right. And by the way, he signed with an agent, which means Hall's done. He's not going to change his mind. He is out. He's considered to be a second-round pick in the NBA draft. P.J. is a good player. Played against Penn State 2 seasons ago. Walked out of Little John Coliseum that night extremely impressed with his inside-out game. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Yeah, you're with us on the show today. This half hour has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Best in the business because they'll make sure you're fully insured and do everything they can to save you money. August 7th, Wednesday, August 7th, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. At the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We will be out there for that. What bothers me is that the last time I played with the suit, I swear somebody gave him the bunt sign because that's all he did the entire round. It's a sad story. It really is.